Great. Welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. Here today we are broadcasting from high atop Frostbite Tower. It's a little cool in St. Louis today with the wind blowing, but we're here in the warmth of our little room, and we are reading Hebrews, and we are to the well-known chapter 11, so the so-called faith chapter, sometimes it's called that. And so if you're ever in doubt as to whether or not there is a dative of means, here it is, piste, right? And if you're ever in doubt as to what the dative singular of pistis is, here it is. So, all right, but let's get started. There's an interesting lexical challenge right away in the very first verse. So we'll take maybe verses 1 and 2 together. So the writer says... Oh, well, in verse 39, you know, he sort of strongly declares, but we are not of turning aside unto destruction, but of faith unto the possession of life or of the soul or something like that. So that's the link into chapter 11. We are of faith. And then he's going to talk about all the things that believers have been able to do by faith. But first he gives a kind of a description or a definition. I'm not exactly sure what you'd call it, but we don't have to because this is Greek Club. All right, 1 and 2. Estin de pistis elpidzamenon hypostasis pragmaton elenkas u blepamenon en taute gar e martyrethesan hoi presbuteroi. So, faith is... Now, the lexical challenge is the noun hypostasis, which is feminine singular nominative, so it's just the predicate nominative. Faith is the subject. Faith is this. And, of course, this is our noun, hypostasis. I mean, it's come right over into theological English and can mean essence or substance or reality or something like that. And it's actually discussed widely among commentators, especially... modern commentators. A lot of people will point back to chapter 3. Let's go there. Hebrews 3, verse 14, I think it is, where the same noun is also used. For we, verse 14, chapter 3, for we have become partakers of Christ, if indeed... let's see. If indeed we hold fast to the beginning of the hypostaseos. And there it's not normally taken to mean reality or substance. In fact, one of the translations that suggested is confidence, although this isn't the normal Greek word for confidence, okay, or assurance. But that's how you get to, at least in my ear, the relatively familiar English translation back in 11:1. That is, faith is the assurance. Say. So it's actually a lexical challenge. You look it up in the big dictionaries, and you just try to make a good contextual choice. We'll just go with that one for now, since we won't solve that problem here in 23 minutes or something. So faith is the confidence or assurance. We'll just go that way. Now, elpidzamenon. This is just the present participle passive. Could be middle, of course, of elpidzo, and it's acting like a noun. We'd like to have an article on it, but it doesn't have there, so we'll just translate it as a substantive. The assurance of the being hoped things. Okay, and if you took it that way, you're parsing it as neuter plural genitive, right? Being hoped things. And then a parallel clause, which helps to define hypostasis in most of the English translations, because elenkos means conviction, right? Either in a negative or a positive sense, by the way. So faith is the assurance of being hoped for things, the conviction of pragmaton, of matters, or again, sort of things. Now let's describe them. U blepamenon, not being seen. Now, there's one unusual thing here about this last part of the sentence. Who can guess what it might be? Yeah, the ooh. What would you expect, according to New Testament writers? You'd expect a may. The general rule in the New Testament is that you negate finite verb forms with forms of ooh and all other verbal forms with may or a form of may. And here the writer doesn't follow that rule. Somebody ask me why. I don't know. Verse 2, for by means of this, or in connection with this, and taute is feminine singular, right? And so the antecedent of the demonstrative pronoun is probably, almost certainly, faith, right? Agrees in gender and number. For by means of this, the elders were testified to, right? This is from our friend martyreo. It's sort of a classic aorist indicative passive third plural. Emartyrethaison, hoi presbyteroi. So by this, by faith, the elders, and this, you know, in context refers to earlier generations of believers, were testified, were borne witness to. It's a little awkward to render in English. So, and now we get the beginning of what the kinds of things that happen by faith. We'll get to the list of the elders starting in verse 4, where we get Abel and so forth. So thus far, verses 1 and 2, and as you can see in Nestle Alan, they separate it. They have like a little mini paragraph break there before we move on to this pattern of piste, 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 piste. By faith, by faith, by faith. Okay, good. Questions, comments about 1 and 2? 1 or 2, right? Okay, all right, verse 3. Piste naumen kat Eirtisthai tus ionas hremati theu estame ek phenomenon ta blepomenon ge ganenai. Now this is a great verse. Of course, all the verses in the Bible are great, but I don't know of a verse where you have two perfect infinitives in the same verse. But we actually have two perfect infinitives, so I'm very happy about that. It takes so little to make me happy. So by faith, naumen, we think or regard. We think the ages to have been prepared. This is from kat ar tidzo. Okay? And there's only one thing that tells you that this is a perfect infinitive. And that is, there's a duplication that remains with the stem. And the duplication is actually, unfortunately, the letter eta. It's kat ar tidzo. And if you duplicate a stem that begins with alpha, the duplication looks like an eta. So the fact that this infinitive has the duplication, only the perfect, when you duplicate in the perfect, it becomes part of the stem, so it endures through all the verbal forms. Right? So this is actually, and the other thing is that it doesn't have a connecting vowel, although you can't quite tell that, because of kat ar tids, and it goes to tis, and so forth. So this is actually a perfect infinitive, passive, and it's acting, expressing indirect discourse. It's what we reckon. And the accusative, tus ionos, the ages, is the accusative case subject of the perfect infinitive, and hremati is probably a dative of means, by means of the word of God. So, again, by faith, we reckon the ages to be prepared. That would be a wooden English way to do it. Or in better English, we reckon that the ages have been prepared. When you use an infinitive to express indirect discourse, the verbal aspect of the infinitive remains when you translate it into the indirect discourse clause. So because it's a perfect infinitive, you translate it as if it were a perfect indicative. Okay? So by faith we regard the ages to have been prepared by means of the word of God. Now, ace ta plus infinitive, the last word in the verse, geganenai, is the perfect infinitive active of ginomai. Okay? And ace ta plus infinitive can express either purpose or result. Those are the two normal senses. Here, it seemed to me that result might actually fit a little bit more nicely into the context, with the result that, and now we have to figure out how to put together the rest of this, in order that the me ek phainomenon ta blepomenon giganinai. We're going to take the second participle there, the being seen thing, as the subject of the infinitive, with the result that the, let's see, does that make sense? The being seen thing, yes, has not happened. The may negates the infinitive out of being manifested things. That fit together all right? So in order that the being seen thing has not happened out of phenomena, I could just say it that way, those things which are being manifested. So in other words, God creates ex nihilo. I mean, this would be a classic passage for that Christian doctrine. So, okay, so we have two. We have an infinitive of indirect discourse, and then we have the ace ta plus the infinitive to express result. Questions? Will?
This ta after ace,
yes,
between ace and may,
yep.
What's that function of that?
That's what that's doing is that it's sort of substantizing the whole infinitive construction. Again, in a sense, it's kind of an idiom, but you always will see it in that order. It'll be ace for the articular infinitive after a certain preposition. So a preposition, article, and then everything else, right? And so it's you could actually do it something like this, unto this thing. The ta is turning all the rest of that into the object of the preposition. Does that make sense? Yeah. So which thing? This thing. The being seen thing not happening out of the being manifested things thing. Right. Which is reminds me
something.
It reminds me of a family story about, forgive me, about the tendency for, let's see, women tend to use more words than men, right, in general. Men tend to use more nouns than women. Say, so I can remember our daughters, one of our daughters said to me one time, "Hey, Dad, would you get the thing that's up there on the thing by the thing?" You know? And I asked her for more nouns, and she provided them. Very intelligent, very wonderful, 32-year-old adult now. So see, nouns are slightly overrated, right? Okay, let's do verse 4 then. Once again, piste, by faith. The writer is relentless. By faith, by faith, by faith, right? And, of course, it's faith in Christ. It's faith in the high priest. It's faith in the promises of a new covenant, which is enduring and greater and better than the old, right? So you can always supply that object for faith. So piste pleona thizion habel para kain. Pras enenken to Theo, di heis e martyrethe enai dikaios, martyruntas epitus dorois autu tu Theu, kai deautes apothanon eti lale. So, by faith, now pleona is from polus, means much or more. This is the comparative. And it modifies thizion. By faith, excuse me, Abel, now we get the verb pros enenka. This is from pros phero, means to offer, especially in this context, offer a sacrifice from the Old Testament story. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice, para Cain, than Cain. One of the senses of para plus the accusative is that it can have a comparative sense. It can also mean, by the way, contrary to. That's the meaning when you're working in Galatians 1, if somebody preaches a gospel contrary to. There, I think it's para plus the accusative as well. So by faith, Abel did this. He offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which Which there is feminine singular, so sacrifice is the antecedent, through which he was testified to be righteous. Okay? And the he there has to be able, right? So we again have the aorist passive of martyreo. Abel was testified to be righteous. Here's another infinitive of indirect discourse. He was testified that he was righteous. Okay? And now we have a genitive absolute. As God also, as God bore witness on the basis of his gifts, so tu theou is the genitive referent of the participle martyruntas. As God bore witness on the basis of or because of his gifts, and through it, autes there is feminine singular, so once again it has to have sacrifice as its antecedent. Through it, apothanon, dying, still it or maybe he speaks. Okay? And the participle there, apothanon, is from apothnesko. It's aorist participle active, masculine singular nominative. The subject is the referent is the subject of lale, which is just the present indicative active third singular of laleo. Through it, and I think the participle has a concessive force. Although he has died, still he speaks. And so Abel is still testifying, in other words, by the deed that he performed by faith, right? Okay, questions about verse 4. Yep, Will?
Is that all a linking verb, the MR2 rethe ani?
I think the ani is indirect discourse, right? So he was born witness that he was righteous. Does that make sense? I mean, it is the infinitive of the linking verb, yes. If I'm looking at the same spot where you're looking. So emarcherethe ani dikaios?
Yes.
Yeah. And by the way, dikaios is nominative there. This is really weird. Because the subject of the infinitive, ani, is actually the subject of the main verb. It's not a different subject. So since he was testified is nominative, you have the linking verb, then dikaios ends up being nominative, even though infinitives don't normally take nominative objects or whatever. Yeah. It's because the subject of the infinitive is the same as the subject of the main verb, which is nominative, which is not there. Because it's implied in the ending. So, anybody want to study Hebrew? No, Greek is a thinking man's and thinking woman's language. That's right. So, we're an equal opportunity Greek club, but we are. So, right. No problem. Yep. Okay, good. Other questions about verse 5? We're going to get a lot of testifying here as we go through these paragraphs. So, okay, now let's get to everybody's favorite mysterious Bible character, Enoch, verse 5. Piste, henoch met etethe, tu me idein thanatan, kai uk heuriskita diati met etheken autan hatheas, pra gartes metathesaos, me martyritai eoras te kenai to theo. Ah, another perfect infinitive, right? Okay, by faith, Enoch was metatithemed, right? This is from metatithemi. It's just the aorist indicative. Don't let the kappa fool you. Was transformed. Oh, I'm sorry, I dropped down. I saw the wrong form. Metatethe is just the aorist indicative passive. By faith, Enoch was transformed. Now, to me plus infinitive, another articular infinitive construction. This one often expresses purpose, and I think that works here. Although result would work as well, either one, I suppose. So as not to see death, right? And, of course, everybody always wants to know about what happened to Enoch and so forth, which is why you actually have an Enoch literature that all of you at least are aware of exists. in the Second Temple period. First Enoch is actually generally regarded as a composite of five different documents, and nobody quite knows where it came from, and most of it seems to predate the Christian era, if I can say it that way. But we know a little bit about Enoch from Genesis chapter 5, right? So Enoch was transformed so as not to see death, and he kept on not being found. I'm not sure how else to render. Heoriskita is from our friend Heorisko. It's an imperfect. So does it have an ongoing sense to it, right? And it could be a present indicative, imperfect indicative middle, but I think here probably has to be passive with the ta ending. And he kept on not being found because God transformed him, right? For before the metathesaos, before the transformation, he has been born witness, perfect of martyrao, to have been pleasing to God. That's kind of a wooden translation. But once again, that last infinitive is perfect, and it is again indirect discourse following the verb mevmar tiretai. So to clean up that last sentence, make it a little bit more fluid English, we could say, for before the transformation, he has been attested, maybe you could do it that way, that he has been pleasing to God, right? Taking this from eores te'o is the dictionary form. And you can see the kappa and the nai ending for the perfect infinitive active. So doing all of verse 5 again. So by faith, Enoch was transformed so as not to see death, and he kept on not being found, maybe, because God transformed him. For before the transformation, he has been witnessed that he has been pleasing to God. So Enoch walked with God, as we know the Old Testament says, and God, he was not, for God took him. And maybe we'll do, mercy. Do we want to do verse 6? Nope, we're out of time. We'll just stop here, and we'll pick up at verse 6 next week. So, all right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I forgot to give the advertisement. Is it Preacher Ball tonight?
No.